Here she is today, a pastor. So welcome her.
Praise the Lord. I want us to stand, and I want us to give Jesus a big clap offering. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for receiving that clap offering. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to thank Pastor Doug and Pastor Fiona for being so loving and gracious to me. I have been enjoying every meal. I've been having nice bed to sleep. And, oh, it's so beautiful. I want to thank God for them, not forgetting. You know, I always miss names. My sweet son, Gabriel. All right. And I want to thank all of you that have blessed me with your love and your smile. And bless me even with games and you know, little things for the kids and books and little cameras. And so God bless you. But I'm not here to just do that. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have to give you a little background of my life. My grandfather on my mother's side was a headmaster. And my grandfather from my father's side was a businessman. And put it two together, because as a headmaster, you're well recognized. And as the grandfather, which was a businessman, he was a prominent businessman. Put it together, grandchildren felt as though their grandparents owned the village or owned the town. So it put a lot of pride level in our lives. We had lots of pride level. I grew up in a very religious home. Very, very religious. We were Hindus. Do you know who are Hindus, anybody? Hindus are people who worship idols. And there are many gods that we worshiped then. But as I was growing up, and I was like the woman with the issue of blood at the age of 13. There was a great desire inside of me to worship. So I normally would leave, if when I go to school, come back. And often. I would leave and go home to worship. And these are some ways that we worshiped. We wouldn't drink the milk. We would take the milk in a glass. Have you seen bamboo? Bamboo trees? All right. We would do religious work, sacrifices. And we plant the bamboos at the front of the yard, at the side, with big flags flying. There would be blue flags, white flags, red flags, yellow flags, black flags, different colors. And each color represents a different god. And on Sundays when Christians, well, we hadn't any Christian in our community. It was a Hindu-oriented community with a few Muslims. And there was always war part between the Muslims and the Hindus, because the Muslims wouldn't eat from the Hindus and the Hindus couldn't understand the Muslims, and there is always war. And that was one way of the bamboo was a symbol of knowing that that's a Hindu home. So when you pass by and you see flags with different colors, that's a Hindu home. And they are flying their flags to show the world that we are proud to serve idol gods. So in worship, we would take our milk in a glass and pour it out. feeding the demons milk, water, fruits, sweets. That was how Hindus worshipped. And that was how I used to worship. I remember when I was about 18, my cousin, who is a full gospel preacher, he came and he said to me, "Why don't you give up all these idols and serve the true and living God?" I said, "You don't come tell me about true and living God. I know who I serve. I serve God." And when you serve, if you serve your Jesus and you and I serve my different gods, it's all one. But I was really wrong. I can remember the first time I went to Sunday school, I was 9. And the only time I went to Sunday school, my dad wasn't home. He was a businessman too. So he went to get stuff for the shop. And a guy came in that called himself, we call him the brother man. He came into the area and he went 2 houses away from us opposite. And he went to every home and invited the children to go to Sunday school. And he came and he asked my mom, "Would you send me to Sunday school?" And she said, "Sure." So I went to Sunday school. My dad came home. I was the only daughter for 15 years. He was very protective. And he asked, "Where was I?" And my mom said, she sent me to Sunday school. He said, "What?" He beat my mother blue black. She had long hair. He grabbed her by the hair, pulled her, and the screaming and the hollering of her beating caused a preacher to cut the Sunday school. And I went home. My mom and my dad, they were separated for 9 months because I went to Sunday school once. But I thank God that today I can teach Sunday school and reach out to children and reach out to adults and everyone with the love of God. Anyhow, that went by. I got married in Hindu rites. Hindu rites, you go around the bamboo 7 times and you throw different stuff in the fire, different sacrifices. I was seeking God because in my heart I was a sick person with the issue of blood. I was a young girl that nobody, I felt nobody cares. I was discouraged. I felt alone in the world. I felt suicidal. I felt that living wasn't worthwhile. I felt nobody's going to love me. It was terrible. And I would seek these gods diligently. I would bow myself to them every day. Every morning I would throw milk to the gods, feed them with bananas and watermelons and different stuff. But I wasn't getting any better. Inside there was a screaming heart. Inside there was like rottenness. Inside it felt as though like a worm is eating at it, and it felt as though, why am I living? What am I living for? It was real bad. I had no friends because I was with like a woman with issue of blood. No girlfriends, no boyfriend, none. It was a terrible life. A life where you feel so inferior. It was terrible. To experience it, then you will able to know what it is. At the age of 19, I got married. And my husband, he came, one of his uncle was a Presbyterian preacher. But he had religion. So he used to whip them to go to Sunday school. And they would go to Sunday school just because they were whipped to go. But when he was at his mother's side, they were strong Hindus. So he had to do sacrifices. And he was more an orphan because his mom died when he was just a baby. And his dad kind of disowned him. So he grew with relatives. And he didn't know what he was and who he was. Because when he was at his dad's side, well, they were Hindus. He had to do all his sacrifices. The mom's side, or the dad's side, he had to go to church, and he didn't know what he was serving. But in 1978, Brother Shambach went to Guyana. And he was a young teenager. He was a young man, then he was 20-some. And he went to the meetings. And at the end of the meeting, he collected a Bible. He never read the Bible. But he collected a Bible and he kept it. In 1980, we got married. We got that Bible all the time. I didn't know it was, you know, what it was for. I said, that's his personal business. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to worry about it. I was a teacher, and I had a friend, and that afternoon on the 24th of January, 23rd of January, 1984 in the evening, my friend came over. She was a so-called Christian too. You know, we got to distinguish between a true Christian and a so-called. And the world is filled with so-called Christians. We meet them every day. True Christians radiate the love of God. And they are fruit-bearing Christians. Amen. So, I was cleaning my altar. All the different gods, you know, that evening. And my friend, and I took the Bible that my husband had, because I said it's sacred because he went to a Christian, you know. It was more like a, what do you call it over here? It's more like a gift that you look at, you know. So I had it there as a souvenir. So she came and I took the Bible and I put it just next to all these idols as I was cleaning up the altar. And she told me, she said, girl, do you know what you're doing? I said, sure. They're all one God. You know, and I could argue, oh, you know, my gods are the best. We went to bed. That evening she left. My husband came home. We went to bed almost around 11 to 12 o'clock because he loved to drink. So he would come home, you know, most time intoxicated. And when he came home, and we went to bed, but I need to tell you something that happened 3 weeks before that. We were in bed, we took off our lights, and then suddenly we hear this hissing sound in the bedroom, you know. And when we got up and put on the light, there were hundreds of cockroaches. We didn't know where they come from. But we got mosquito net. You know what a netting is. So they couldn't get in the net. And they were big. Black and brown cockroaches, and they scared the daylights out of me. And I had no daylight, it was nighttime. And just like they came, they left. And we couldn't understand it, you know. But I believed that was a manifestation of demon spirits. All right, go back to the night. We were talking in bed, and he was telling me why he was drinking. And I was telling him why he shouldn't drink, having an argument. And then suddenly, I love the word suddenly. You know, God can come suddenly, and the devil can come suddenly, too. So we got to be always prepared to fight, to put on the armor of the Lord, and fight what God, what the enemy meant for bad, God is going to turn around for good. And then suddenly, I saw one of my gods came to me and said, I come to kill you. Can you believe it? The God of the Bible is a life-giving source. He's not a killer. But here the gods that I serve came to tell me, I come to kill you. And then before I could have turned, I saw another face. It was all ugly, terrible. It had no eyes. It had one tooth. Now that's a terrible sight. I was fearful. I was shocked. And it came and it touched my throat. And before I know it, I was like this, on the bed. And my husband, what's wrong with you? Because we were arguing why you shouldn't drink, you know. And he's telling why he should drink. So, what's wrong with you? As he began to shake me, that I was trying to tell him what was wrong with me, but nothing could come out from my mouth. Nothing, not a word. Well, my altar was in my bedroom. And he pulled me to the altar. And I was pulling back because the gods, which are demons in reality, manifested themselves because they recognized that God is about to do something in my heart. And you know, in these days that we are living in the last days, and Satan is unleashing all his powers, but God is releasing his anointing in our life so that we may combat the powers of darkness. And that's exactly what happened in my life. And as he pulled me towards the, you know, we light incense. He went and lighted incense, and here I was backing away. You know, because this is reality. I now, as I look to these photographs of these demons, I see that they were crying. I see naturally tears were flowing from those photographs, and I couldn't understand what was happening to me. I have been wearing glasses all my life. So I took off my glasses, I wiped my eyes, and I was saying in my heart, what on earth is this? I couldn't understand. But you know what? Pastor Fiona's dad was my neighbor, next door neighbor. But I must tell you a little detail of what happened before my husband went over. He put me to sit in the rocking chair, and I sat there shivering, can't comprehend what is wrong. These were the gods I will put my life on the block for, and how is it that they are looking like this? Why are they crying? Why are they looking so ugly? I couldn't figure it out. And he now couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So I had to take paper and pen and write, I saw this ugly face, it touched my throat, and I don't know what's wrong. I had experienced what it was to be dumb for a day and a night. It's a terrible thing. That is why as Christians, we got to move with compassion. If we don't move with compassion, then we wouldn't fulfill the mandate of humility, love, and compassion. We may have humility, we may have love, but without the compassion of Christ, we cannot reach out and touch the unlovable. And he opened the windows because Hindus love to curse. He opened the windows and he cussing out devils. He said, whatever it is, he cursing out all his slangs. And he found out it didn't work. It can't work. Only the blood of Jesus would put devils to flee. So he decided now to go next door. And Pastor Fiona's dad, who was a pastor, I don't know if he was reading his Bible that I was trying to remember, but I couldn't because it was like going on to 1 o'clock. Yeah, it was after 1 o'clock in the morning. No, it was before one in the morning. And he came over with his big Bible. already came over with his Bible, but I need to tell you, Pastor Fiona has an aunt named Gyalo, and she's in Canada. And her mom used to tell, well, she came on her vacation. And both of us were Hindus, so we used to fight against her mom when she would tell us to go to church. We said, not us. You will never get me to go to church. And you see, this is what has happened when we have too much of religion in Christianity. I used to think that a Christian should not use no makeup. They shouldn't wear pants. They shouldn't have short hair. That was what we were taught. Part of it. So I said, me? I'll never go to a Christian church. I love my pants too much. I love my makeup too much. And I feel I was up there. Anyhow, he came over. Well, I used to call her Auntie Gyalo. He said, none of us are going to become Christians. But she came over that night. Because that very afternoon, we had a conversation. None of us are going to become Christians. But God has a real good sense of humor. He knows how to save us. He knows how to pick us out from the guttermost and lift us out. He knows how to take a sleazy, ugly, good-for-nothing, wash him or her in his precious blood, and make him or her valuable. He specializes in it. And all he wants for us is to be obedient to tell somebody about his love. That is all he wants. And let our life shine. And she came over with Fiona's dad. And she said, hey, what's wrong? What is this? You have to write. She was like, my testimony changed her. You need to find out on that. So Pastor Serge Paul came over and he said, I am going to pray. Well, man, anybody would welcome anything when you are at that junction. I couldn't speak loud to say my confession, but I did it in my heart. And as he began to pray, I felt from my toes, I felt the heaviness begin to lift up. And I felt when it was left on my mouth, how I wanted to tell him, please pray some more. You know, no wonder Jesus said, watch and pray always. Pray without ceasing. Our miracle is just around the corner if we will just pray a little bit more. I'm sorry, I'm preaching in this testimony. All right. But I'm a preacher, I can't help it. Okay. So, he said, are you ready to give your heart to Jesus? Said, in my heart, I said, well, anything. But he couldn't hear it, but God surely hears. You see, God knows our thoughts. I don't know what I'm going to think in another few moments, but he knows. And so, he said, the sinner's prayer to me, and I said it in my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart, cleanse me from my sins, wash me in your blood, make me your child. Something happened inside. Chains began to be broken. I'm not talking about that little gold chain you have around your neck. I'm talking about those big, fat iron chains that one bus would pull to another. I felt that heavy chains broken out, and I felt a release inside of me, and I felt a peace and a joy that I never know. I am beginning to feel something good inside of me. Because in religion, I searched and I didn't get it. Couldn't get it. But I found that there is something called P-E-A-C-E. And I'm no longer going into P-I-E-C-E-S. saw it in my heart. I said, Jesus, whoever you are, you are the one now. But not loud, because I couldn't speak. So Pastor Serge Paul, he told my husband, he said, look, let's go to the hospital. So himself, Auntie Gallo, my husband, and I, we went at 1, that after I gave my heart to the Lord, at 1 o'clock in the morning, we went to the emergency unit of the Georgetown Hospital in Guyana. When we went there, the doctor that we went to, they were trying to explain. He said, they have never heard anything like this. You went to bed talking, and here you're not talking. This is not scientific. This is not medical. That, you know, the guy laughed. The doctor laughed. He said, you're young, and you want attention from your husband. What a thing. Anyhow, we came home. Before we came, he gave my husband a letter. He said, if she does not speak in the morning, take her to the specialist, the throat specialist, because he thought something was wrong with my throat. I went to bed feeling good because I was saying in my heart, Jesus, it's you now, it's you. And I felt so good. I wish you can feel it. It felt so good. And I slept for whatever hours it was, 2-3 hours, like a baby. I woke up in the morning forgetting all what happened and trying to speak and nothing couldn't come out. You know, Fiona Mom is a jam, Sister Sheila. Have you ever met her? Those of you that have met her, you have seen a woman of hospitality. She is total a woman of hospitality and love. And she encouraged me and she said, you know, don't worry. You go to the hospital and you will get lunch when you come home. My husband took me. There was a panel of doctors, 5 of them. And they were asking questions and I had to write what happened to me. And they put me out of the office for a little bit. And they were discussing it. They had a panel discussion. And they came to the conclusion that I was pretending. So for them to prove whatever they had discussed, they said they are going to take an instrument, push it down my throat, and they are going to see truly if I was pretending. So they put me back in the room. They put the instrument down my throat. And when I fainted without making a sound, they said it's beyond them. There's nothing they could do. So they give me another letter. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, you're going to the psychiatrist. I am not mad. I'm not going off balance. You know, that was what I was telling myself. But my husband now, when we left the doctor's office, he said, you know what? We are going to the pandit. You know who a pandit is? It's a Hindu priest. The one who will put more demons, stronger than the demons you got, to calm that demon when it manifests. That's my first prayer now. We went. First time I'm going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we went, he held me by the hand. We walked into the pandit place of worship. And when I saw these hundreds of different devils, I just got an anger inside of me. I don't want to see them. How could a woman or a young girl that loves these devils suddenly have a hatred for them? Only God is a miracle working God. Only God can turn it around. You see, God specializes in the impossible. What you may think is impossible for God, he said, only it's a prayer away. So I encourage you to pray more. So the wife of the priest told my husband, he is going to be back in 10 minutes. Well, I'm going to pray now. Lord Jesus, whoever you are, please don't let me see this pandit. My first prayer in Jesus' name. We waited 2 hours. No pandit came. God is a God answering God. He knows how to answer our prayers. He knows how to meet us when we are in the guttermost. He knows how to lift us up again. He's awesome. He's mighty to deliver. He's able to put back all those demon power back and said, get out from her life. He's able. And he commands us to pray. Watch and pray. I went home. There was lunch on my table. There was love. You know, in the Hindu world, they talk a lot about love. But in reality, there's a lot of strife. But I have proven love through Fiona's mom. So you wanted to know how she got so much love? Through her mom and her dad. Wonderful, wonderful servants of God. You know, but I treasured the peace that I had because I never had it. I treasured the calm in my spirit. I never had it in religion because I was going to pieces. I treasured it and I felt good. In the evening hours, Pastor Serge Paul said to me, he said, I am going to church. He was pastoring at La Penitence Church. No, La Penitence. And from La Penitence to Norton Street. He was pastoring there. And he said to me, he said, I am going to church and I am going to call up a few of the brethren and I am going to have prayer meeting for you. You see, brothers and sisters, there is where the power lies. When we can be our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper. And as he left 6 o'clock that afternoon. 5 minutes to 8. Myself and my husband, we were in the kitchen and we were washing and cutting callaloo. Do you know what callaloo is? All right, what you call spinach. And as he was washing it, I was cutting it, and I had that knife in my hand, and suddenly something spoke, but I know who spoke, the Holy Ghost. And said, leave what you're doing and go pick up the Bible. Now I never opened the Bible. The power of prayer. I picked the Bible. I opened the Bible. First time I was opening the Bible, which was the 25th of January, 1984, at around 10 minutes to 8. And I looked through this Bible, and I can't see one picture. You see, the Hindu books full of pictures of gods with 6 hands and tail and monkey face, and you name it, they got it. And I said, where on earth am I going to read? This is all words, words, words. So as I opened, my hands stuck at Exodus chapter 20. I want you to open the word with me. These were the very first words that I read from the Bible. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Woo! When I said that, when I read that, in fact, I began to read loud like I have just read. My husband knocked the callaloo down. He ran to me. He grabbed me. He said, you're a Christian from today. But you know what? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. When there is a true change and a true transformation in your heart, the Holy Spirit has now come. He has now come to get you stronger in Christ Jesus. And I read it to him. And he said, you are a Christian. And as from today, this Bible that I got in 1978, which I never read, I give it to you as a gift. But I had that Bible in my hand. I hold it close to my heart with one hand, and I grab him by the other hand. I said, get them devils out of this bedroom. I don't even want to see it. I'm talking about the idols. He said, how can we do that? As much as my husband saw the miracle that happened in my life, yet it didn't change him. I am telling you here this morning, you have to have your own transformation. You have to have your own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to prove in your heart that change. You may not have that change like I have, because this was a dramatic change out of religion and bondage, out of the house of Egypt. Egypt speaks of sin and it speaks of idolatry. And so God brought me out of the house of idolatry. And I told my husband, I said, get him out. Well, we had two little rooms. He took the idols and he put it in the other room. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I am not even going to go into that room to even sweep it. I don't want to see them again. He couldn't understand. He couldn't understand. And so each one of us, we have to have our own salvation taken care of. Mama's salvation can save the children, but mama's prayer can bring them into it. And that is what I tell my three girls all the time. I'll never quit praying for you. Oh, they love the Lord in their own way. They do. And it was so joyous. It was so joyous to know I can speak again and speak the word of God. And I believe that is one of the reasons why the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel. It was great joy. But I want to share just a little bit more to finish it here. My husband took the idols, put it in the other room, and I wouldn't go into that room, period. Not at all. And one day, he told me, he said, you know, I recognize and I know that you're a Christian. And I know, I can't understand why, even though you have explained it to me, that you have seen tears falling from their eyes, they manifested their ugliness, but how can I get rid of them? How could he get rid of them? I don't want to touch him. I don't want to see them. He got to get rid of them. I said, well, I don't know how, but you got to do it. So he took them all and he carried them and he threw them into the sea. Do away with them. But I want to tell you this, that it took 6 months after I got saved. 6 months, I went to church every service, but I couldn't remember one word the preacher preached. Satan was trying with my mind. You see, there is a mind-blinding demon released. And there are times when I put on the radio, and when a preacher, I would just go and turn it off, and I couldn't understand why. And I was sitting on crying. I said, God, I don't understand. Jesus, you are the one I serve, and I don't understand why. I can't understand it. But I began to pray. It wasn't easy when you used to throw milk, lie down your body, and now you got to pray from the heart. It was a new experience. You see, we as God's children, God wants our heart. And it was a heavy thing to give your heart. It's not an easy thing. We can preach it, we can teach it, we can talk it. But to live it, you have to go through some struggles and go through some strains and pains. And then I began to memorize a word here and there. I would sit and go on blank. And then the demons would come in dreams. I said, you left us? See what I can do with you. And then I would call, Lord Jesus! And instantaneously, they gone. Hear me. The very thing we have been delivered from, the very same things would come back in our weaknesses, in our moments of weaknesses, to attack us. I've proven it so much. And then I went to church, a word began to come inside of me, and I said, Lord, if there's anything you can do in me, teach me to pray. And I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. I have a wonderful husband whom I'm married to for 29 years. I have 3 beautiful daughters, but I tell them, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come second. Because he's first and foremost. And he saved me out of idolatry. And I need to share this. When I got saved, my daddy, he said, how can goat become sheep? How can you from Hinduism become Christian? I don't want to have anything to do with you. You know. And the beauty of the whole thing, every time my daddy, he would travel all the way from Quarantine, number 72 village, to come way up to LBI to see me. And every time he would come, I'm going to church. And I never ever turn back with him and go home. I always give him the key and say, Daddy, you go home. I'm going to church. When church is over, I will come. Be faithful to your church. Be faithful to your God. And Daddy would tell me, he said, I don't understand it. And he was so angry. He said, he's never going to come back. And he's not going to see me no more. And he wants nothing to do with me. I said, that's all right, but can I come and visit you? He said, yes. But he can't say no. He said, well, yes, you can come. I said, well, we don't have a problem. You don't want to come, fine, but I can come. Matter sealed. You know, so Daddy now couldn't understand. Every time he come, he said, there is a change. This home is different. Your life is different. I said, Daddy, it's Jesus. He said, don't you dare tell me that name, Jesus. You see, I have to tell this piece. Now, one day, my second daughter was a baby. She was like 6 months old. And I was fasting and praying. And the Lord showed me precisely how Daddy is going to get saved. You see, when God touched Daddy, he's going to touch the entire home. Do you remember how he took my mama by the hair? And beaded her so blue and black because I went to Sunday school one time. I said, Lord, you got to save them. You got to save them, Lord. I don't know what it takes, Lord, if I got to put aside my entire life to see them saved. And Lord, if I got to fast my entire life to see that they get saved, Lord, you got to do it. God honors your cry. And as I was fasting and praying, the Lord showed me how he was going to get saved. I saw him come out from the washroom, and I saw him fail. And the Lord spoke to me, said, this would be the moment when he will receive salvation. Not knowing, it was shortly after then. That was in 1991. I got saved in 84. In 1991, I didn't know because we had a strange relationship. All I could have said, Daddy, how you do? And that was it. Because anything I want to say, it got to be about the Lord. And he refused to hear it. So we had no kind of a relationship. And Daddy chose to come by me. My brother brought him, not knowing that he went to the doctors in Skeldon Hospital, and he got the x-rays that there was water around his heart. He had an enlarged heart. He was a sugar diabetes case. He had kidney problems, and you name it, he had it. I didn't know, but he came, but I was so quickened in my spirit that the Lord spoke to me. And when I saw him on the road coming, I said, Daddy, God brought you here for a purpose. And I was so excited, forgetting that he didn't want to hear about Jesus. But he didn't say a word because he was dying. The doctor gave him 3 weeks to live. So he had no choice to come to the daughter now and to go to spend the overnight to go to see all the doctors. But I was having deliverance services at my downstairs. My little downstairs there. And that night I was having service. But let me tell you what happened. It was like around 5 o'clock that afternoon. I just bade my second daughter, whose name is Sherlina, and I wrapped her with a towel, going to you know, pat her up and powder her and put on her clothes. And I saw my daddy went into the washroom, and I just held back with my baby in my arm. And I saw him came out, and precisely like I saw it when I was praying, I saw my dad fall down. And when he fell down, I dropped my little baby down. You know, I dropped her. I tell you, God has a sense of humor. He protects us when we think we are injured. And I ran to my daddy, and he said, bring me the Lima call. Do you know what Lima call is? It's something to revive you again. And I said, no, this is not Lima call time. This is Jesus time. And I laid my hand upon him, and I prayed for him until he was restored. But something happened in his heart. And I said, Daddy, do you want to sit here or would you like to go in bed? He said, I would like to go in bed. So I took him by the hand, put him to the bed, then come back, pick my baby, and look after her. What is our priority? That is what is next. What is our priority? Sometimes we are so religious, we are caught up in the things of religion and not realizing we are serving a living God. And if that moment is past, we allow it to go by and we do not see the miracle that God wants to perform. I got dressed. I was having service for 6:30. My dad got up like around 6. He came out from the bed. I said, Daddy, I'm having service downstairs. Are you going? Yes. My God. You know what Dad did to me when he said yes? He said it in a feeble voice. He didn't share nothing yet what had happened to him. I went, yeah, Daddy's getting saved. So we had service. I asked, is there any person in this place that needs prayer? My daddy was the first one to stand up. When we went after the service, then he began to tell me. He said, "Do you know that the doctor gave me 3 weeks to live?" God brings relationship where there was none. How can we not serve him in spirit and in truth? How can we not love him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul? And how can we not commune with him on a daily basis? And so he shared with me. I said, "Daddy, I've prayed with you and I believe that prayer. Do you believe it?" He said, "Yes, I do." God praise the Lord. Heal his body. You know, I didn't know what was wrong with him. The next morning, he went to the doctors. And when he came home, he couldn't tell me a word because he brought x-rays. The x-ray, when we put the x-rays, the one from Burbies and the one that he got in the morning, when we put them side to side, all we could do is say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are amazing. You're mighty. You're powerful. You're strong. Oh, we want to love you and bless you." Don't you get excited like that? Well, we are Guyanese. We get excited. You know. And I said, "Daddy, I must ask you this profound question. When you go home, what are you going to do with those idols?" He said, "I do know that I have to get rid of them. But how, I don't know." I said, "Daddy, are you going to go to church?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Daddy, I know you're a prominent..." He was a chairman of the Hindu temple. I said, "Daddy, you know that it's Jesus now." He said, "Yes." And I grabbed him. First time after how many years I could have hugged my daddy and kissed him. I said, "Daddy, I do love you. And it's worthwhile to see you come into the kingdom of God." My daddy got saved. My mommy got saved. They got baptized. They both gone on to heaven. When I stood, I'm going to share this little too. When daddy, my mom passed away first, but I want to share something here with you that is very deep. You see, there is something called generational curses that needs to be broken. I had only one sister. Her name was Rose. I got her for my 15th birthday. And I got my daughter, my first miracle baby, on my 28th birthday. Isn't that awesome? How God can give us beautiful birthday presents. And one day, after daddy got saved and mommy got saved, but they were weak. They were very weak Christians. That is why the Bible said, "We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of those that are weak." Not to pull them down or criticize them, but to bear them up in prayers. And as I was praying, the Lord said, "I want you to go home." So as I went home, I said, "Mommy, we got to pray. Daddy, we got to pray in this home. I'm not feeling good. I know that I had to pray. I know that the Lord called me to prayer. And when I'm called to prayer, you know, you got to get there." And as he began to pray, my sis, I said, "We are planning my brother's wedding. And all I could see was a funeral." And when I say all I can see is a funeral, my sister began to wail, cried. The neighborhood could have heard her while she was wailing, half an hour nonstop. While we're praying, I said, "Lord, we are planning a wedding. Why are we seeing a funeral?" And in the prayer, we saw that the wedding came forward and the funeral went backward. My brother got married the Saturday evening. And after he got married, and you know, after changing your wedding garments, He began to manifest in the house. My God, I stood there to fight demon powers for hours. Little me, barely 5 feet, thin like a stick, got to stand up to find demon spirits because of the generational curses. And while when he finished manifesting, my sister-in-law is manifesting. It was a terrible wedding. It was a terrible wedding. The devil wants to put us to shame, but God will deliver us from shame. I prayed like from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And in Burmese, we had a two-story concrete building. And I told my dad, I said, Daddy, we got to break this generational curse. And it has to come from you. Because you see, my dad used to feed the dead. My dad used to do a lot of things that came down from his descendants. And it has to be broken. Because whom the Lord set free is free indeed. And I refuse to be tormented by third and fourth generational curses. And my daddy, I said, let's kneel in the house and we are going to pray. So we knelt down. He said, my daddy knelt down, the house began to shake like a leaf. I said, Daddy, you don't have to be fearful. That God has given unto us power. That whatsoever we bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. And we are going to bind these demon spirit, these religious devils, and we are going to command them not to come and affect our children. You see, brethren, if we live in curses, that is what follow our children. If we live in blessings, that is what follow our children. And we prayed and we break that curse. The very next day, my only sister was crushed in an accident, and she died. See, we would have gotten that funeral or that death before the wedding, but the Lord turned it around. But thanks be to God, she was saved. Listen to me. Remember, I was like a woman with issue of blood. I did that yesterday. And the devil chose me for me to flow like that woman with the issue of blood. When my sister died at the beach, the car turned turtle and pinned her. And as I was there with barefooted and everything, and as I knelt by my sister praying for her, I could sense the demon spirit sucking at her blood. You see, demons want blood. But the blood of Jesus will put every demon spirit back and post them from where they have come. And I'm walking in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no devil in hell can affect me. Now, and as I prayed with her, we prayed as the Lord, that your will be done. She was buried and gone. 3 years after my mom died, I want to show you how generational curses takes time to be broken. When my mom had cancer in her liver, and I told her, I said, Mom, it doesn't matter what the enemy do to your flesh. If you love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, you're going to a better place. You don't have the taste of pains and sickness and diseases. You will go to a better place because I live to do the Lord's bidding. But say, Lord, if you are finished with me, I want to go home. That's a better place. I'm sorry, I'm preaching, Pastor, but I just had to let him know this. And Mama was lying on the bed, and we began to pray, and I was in prayer too. and I saw how the demon of cancer was breaking out in her body. And I shared it with my husband. And when Daddy called and said, she's dying, I said, Daddy, hold on to Jesus. Don't you dare go back to them devils. Because listen, you see, we got to understand, religious demons, when we go through tests, if we do not have the education that every test that we go through is the temptations of Satan, we would want to go back where we come from. And God chose to save me, to bring my family out of that bondage. See? And we began to pray, my husband and I, we began to pray and we began to pray and we began to pray because my mama was dying. She was cold and she was frothing. And as we began to pray, suddenly my mama opened her eyes. And these were her words. She said, I saw Jesus standing. I saw my soul in the middle. And I saw Satan on the other side. And Satan is saying, that's my soul. And Jesus is saying, you dare not touch it because it is purchased with my blood. Isn't God good? And my desire is to see every person that is not saved to come into the kingdom of God. And my mama lived a few weeks more and she went on to heaven. And then 3 years, it was a span of 3 years. That was in 93 was when my sister died. 96 was when my mama died. And 99 was when my daddy died. When my daddy died, before he died, he went to church. He promised he's going to make the fence around the church. And he went home and he opened his business in the afternoon for a couple hours. And he was telling my aunt, he said, you know, when I die, I want you to announce my funeral in this manner. Not knowing in a few hours he was going to go home. I went to church. When I came back, the phone rang. I picked up the phone. My brother said, you got to come home tomorrow. Early morning. I said, why? He said, you just got to come. I said, tell me, I'm prepared for anything. He said, Daddy passed away. I said, praise God, hallelujah. We know he made it to heaven. He said, if he had lived another 20 years and died in his sin, that would have hurt me. But he died in the Lord. And when he died in the Lord, you can stand with that peace and that joy and say, to God be the glory that he has delivered them from the bondage of Egypt and set them free. Brethren, and that's my desire. That's my desire to see all our relatives are Hindu. Just here and there, one is getting saved. But we are allowing our light to shine. And that is what I want to encourage you today in this testimony. That sometimes when death comes in different ways and our loved ones passed away, let us remember that Jesus died for our sins. And he shed his blood to redeem us from the curse of the enemy. And to God be the glory for saving my soul and calling me to minister his word, because when I stand behind the sacred desk, I believe it's the greatest honor God can give to a human being to minister his word. God bless you.
You know, the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I hope that you're encouraged today. You know, you're in a spiritual war, whether you realize it or not. And what you do, how you respond, determines whose side you're on. Those who are faithful to the Lord And you have to be faithful in what? The big things or the little things? If you're not faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in the big things. That's what the Bible says. Pastor Lynette, she pastors a church called Ebenezer New Testament Church of God. She began her ministry in a leper colony. She ministered to lepers, and she touched a leper, and through her touch, and she said that Jesus loves her, but when she touched the leper, she said, I love you, and that changed that leper's heart. And from there, she founded two churches. She pastors one of them. Amen? How many believe that God can do all things? Amen? If you just let him, if you just allow him, he can use you. You know, I believe that there are some people here today that you need a touch from God. You need a touch from the anointing. Amen? It's not the person. It's the person of Christ. It's the anointing and the power of God that sets people free. Amen? And you heard this testimony. You see her here today. She's able to tell you about being delivered from idolatry and bondage and all these things. You know, having demons manifest in your room. You know, praise God. The gospel is real. The gospel is true. The word of God is powerful. Amen? And if you need a touch today, I don't want you to leave here without getting a touch from heaven. Amen? I want to invite you to come and receive prayer, and I'm going to have Pastor Lynette pray for you. Amen? Some of us just need a shake-up, you know, a good shake-up, an awakening. Amen? You know how when someone's sleeping and they slept in and you got to wake them up? Come on, you got to wake up. What do? You shake them, you pour water on them, you do whatever you got to do to wake them up. And I think there's some of us that need to be woke up today in the name of Jesus. I am not going to let the devil destroy the people whom God has given me charge of. I'm a watchman on the wall. I feed the sheep and I kill the wolves. Amen? See, because we feed sheep, the pigs don't come, the goats don't come, because we feed sheep. Amen? The Bible says don't cast your pearl before swine because they can't appreciate it. The Bible says dogs return to their vomit, you know, but our sheep are well-watered, well-fed, and they're spirit-led. Amen? And I believe in divine appointments. Amen? God designed this. And everyone who is here today can benefit from this testimony. Amen? And you say, well, we didn't hear a sermon. Yes, you did. You heard a sermon. And you got to see the live illustration of it right here. Now, so if you're dealing with something today, you don't even have to be dealing with something. If you need a fresh touch from God, today is my day for a fresh touch from Almighty God, my Father. And if that's you today, I want you to come up right now in Jesus' name. Don't delay. Just come up right now. Amen. When you come up for prayer, the purpose of it is to receive from heaven. It's not to be looked at. It's not to be made fun of. But it's to receive from heaven. Amen. How many believe that God's ready to touch you today? So you've got to come expecting. Come believing. Come. You